Chapter 17 is a very important chapter in the general rubrics, and its title is The Conclusion of Prayers. In the Mass and the Office, the prayers are concluded with certain phrases having to do with the Trinity, and depending on the person of the Trinity to whom the prayer is addressed, the ending may be slightly different. There are five of these endings that are commonly used, or conclusions that are commonly used, and these generally have to be memorized, since in the Missal and in the Office, usually only the first few words of the conclusion are given, enough so that you can distinguish one conclusion from the other, but then you're expected to know the rest. So that is a chapter that should really be memorized. Chapter 18 discusses the colors of the vestments. Normally there are the colors white, red, green, and violet, and then of course black. And this chapter consists basically of a list of the various colors of vestments that are used on given days. Now, again, the ordo will normally tell you the proper color. However, if a votive mass is being said, that is not the mass of the day, you may have to figure out the color on your own, and therefore you can refer to chapter 18 for information about the appropriate color of vestments. Chapter 19 discusses the use and kind of vestments. It discusses some of the episcopal vestments, the use of the cope, or Latin pluviale, and some of the deacon's vestments. And that covers part one of the general rubrics and rubrics of the Roman breviary. Specifically, this part one applies to the rubrics that concern both the Missal and the breviary. Par secunda is entitled Rubrice Generales Breviarii Romani and pertain to the general rubrics of the Roman breviary. Chapter 1 is entitled General Norms and lists some of the terms used in relation to the Divine Office, or breviary. The canonical hours are Matins, Lauds, Prime, Terce, Sext, Known, Vespers, and Compline. Matins, Lauds, and Vespers are called Major Hours, and Prime, Terce, Sext, Known, and Compline are the Minor Hours. It provides that the obligation of saying the Divine Office embraces all the canonical hours in the course of a day. The Divine Office is performed either in choir, in coro, or in common, in comune, or by one alone, a solo. In choir, if it is said in a community bound under ecclesiastical law, in common, if it is by a community that is not bound to say the office in choir, and then, of course, by one alone, is an individual recitation. Chapter 2 is entitled The Time for Saying the Canonical Hours. In general, to sanctify the day, it is best that the canonical hours, each canonical hour, be said at a time nearest the true time to its canonical hour, but to satisfy the obligation of reciting the divine office, the canonical hours need be said only within the space of the 24 hours of the day, with the following exceptions. Matins for just cause may be anticipated in the hours after noon of the preceding day, but not before 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Lauds, which is a morning prayer, is best said early in the morning, if possible. Vespers are said afternoon, and Compline is most appropriately said as the last prayer of the day. If, for just cause, Matins have been anticipated, it is recommended that the Compline be said after the Matin, so that Compline is always the last hour of the day. Now, these rules are primarily directed towards saying the office in choir or in common. However, when the office is being said alone, if possible, the same provision should be observed. Chapter 3 discusses the calendar to be used in the recitation of the divine office. The general rule is that the divine office is to be said according to a proper, that is, a particular calendar, or if there is no such, according to the calendar of the Universal Church. Normally, diocesan clergy follow the calendar of the church or oratory to which they are permanently bound. If they are not permanently bound to any church or oratory, or they remain outside of their diocese for a long time, they must follow either the calendar of their diocese, adding the feast of the place in which they reside, or use the calendar of the place in which they reside. Then there are other regulations pertaining to religious who follow generally the calendar of their house. Chapter 4 discusses the arrangement of the divine office, and the first subpart, A, discusses the arrangement of the divine office in general. Particularly, it discusses the situation with respect to Matins. Matins was the morning office, the early morning, that is, before sunrise. It comes from the Latin matutina, which means morning. And the Matins are set up in three ways, depending on the type of day. Some liturgical days have three nocturnes, that is, nine psalms and nine lessons, structured so that there are three psalms followed by three lessons, three more psalms followed by three more lessons, and three final psalms followed by three more lessons. Another, that is the most elaborate structure, and occurs on first and second class feasts primarily. The second structure is Matins with one nocturne only of nine psalms and three lessons. So there's a total of nine psalms followed by three lessons. That structure is used on all the Sundays except Easter and Pentecost and most other days. And then the final structure is Matins with one nocturne only of three psalms and three lessons. which is said on Easter and Pentecost and within their octaves. Subpart B discusses the Sunday office. Now again, these subparts go into a great deal of detail about the structure of the office, and it's not my purpose to go into that level of detail in this tape, so I'm simply listing them for you so that you know where you could refer as needed. Subpart C is the festive office, which is set on feasts of the first class. Subpart D discusses the semi-festive office, which is for feasts of the second class. Subpart E is the ordinary office, which is for feasts of the third class, and also for the office of the Blessed Virgin Mary on Saturday. And subpart F is the ferial office, which is for ferias, that is weekdays and vigils. Subpart G lists certain peculiarities in the arrangement of the divine office on certain days. Chapter 5 discusses the various parts of the office. Again, this section goes into a good deal of detail. It consists of subpart A, which is the beginning and end of the hours, listing each of the hours. Subpart B is the conclusion of the office, that is the antiphon of the Blessed Virgin Mary, its versicle and prayer, and so on, after Compline, the last hour of the day. Subpart C discusses the invitatory at Matins. Subpart D discusses hymns that occur in the various hours of the office. Subpart E discusses antiphons that occur in various hours of the office. Subpart F discusses psalms and canticles that occur at various hours of the office. Subpart G discusses the Athanasian Creed, which is now said only on the Feast of the Most Holy Trinity. Subpart H discusses the versicles of various hours of the office. Subpart I discusses the absolutions and blessings before the lessons at Matins. Subpart J discusses the lessons at Matins. And that subpart J is further subdivided into subpart 1, lessons in general, subpart 2, lessons of an office of 3 nocturnes, subpart 3, lessons of an office of 1 nocturne, and finally, subpart 4, certain peculiarities concerning the lessons. You remember that there are different structures for matins that I reviewed earlier, and this pertains to each of those forms. Subpart K discusses the responsories after the lessons of matins, and that is further subdivided into the 3 different types of matins, or structures of matins. Subpart L discusses the hymn Te Deum, which is said on certain days, and this section indicates when the hymn Te Deum ends matins. Subpart M discusses the little chapters, the capitula, and the short lesson at prime. And section N discusses the short responsories of the minor hours. Subpart P discusses commemorations and how those are to be made. Just in general, it does occur on a certain number of days throughout the year that because 2 liturgical feasts fall on the same day, one of a higher precedence than the other, the office of the higher is said and a commemoration is made of the lesser. The commemoration, as you remember from an earlier chapter, may be privileged or ordinary. If it's privileged, the commemoration is made at Lauds and Vespers. If it's an ordinary commemoration, it's made only at Lourdes. And there is a particular way of making the commemoration. The commemoration consists of the antiphon at the Benedictus, which would be for Lourdes, or the Magnificat, which would be at Vespers, followed by the versicle, and followed by the prayer of commemoration. That is what a commemoration means, or consists of. Then we have subpart Q, which pertain to the prayers, the preces. The preces are a set of prayers or invocations for various persons, the Pope, the Bishop, and so on, which occur during certain seasons of the year on certain days. In general, they occur at Lourdes and Vespers of Wednesdays and Fridays of Advent, Lent, and Passiontide, and then on the Ember days that occur throughout the year. Chapter 6 discusses the making of the sign of the cross, standing, kneeling, and sitting in the recitation of the divine office. Now these prescriptions occur primarily to the office in choir or in common, but those who recite the divine office alone are recommended to follow the prescriptions concerning the sign of the cross. The chapter goes on to discuss when the sign of the cross is made during the divine office, when people are to stand, when they are to kneel, and when they are to sit. And that concludes the second part, that is the general rubrics of the Roman breviary. Now attached to the rubrics of the breviary are certain tables. There is the calendar, but I'm not discussing that. That's simply given. There is a table of liturgical days, which is simply a list of the first, second, third, and fourth class days, ranked within each of the classes as to sub-priorities. That was referred to earlier when we discussed the precedence of liturgical days. After the calendar, you will find a table of occurrence, occurrencia, and a table of concurrence. Remember, occurrence is when two liturgical celebrations fall on the same calendar day in a given year, and a concurrence is when the normal Vespers of one feast day comes into concurrence with the first Vespers of the first class feast of the next day. So there is a chart, really, that describes when two days come into occurrence or Vespers into concurrence, what it is that you are to do. Again, this is taken care of for you if you use a